His assertion was so far-fetched that I felt obliged to tell him that this time he was wrong. He laughed and reminded me that on that occasion, while both of us were sitting on a bench in the Alameda Park in Mexico City, we had witnessed the death of a man. He said that I had recorded the event in my everyday life memory as well as in my left side emanations. As Don Juan spoke to me, I had the sensation of something inside me becoming lucid by degrees, and I could visualize with uncanny clarity the whole scene in the park. The man was lying on the grass with three policemen standing by him to keep onlookers away. I distinctly remember Don Juan hitting me on my back to make me change levels of awareness, and then I saw. My seeing was imperfect. I was unable to shake off the sight of the world of everyday life. What I ended up with was a composite of filaments of the most gorgeous colors superimposed on the buildings and the traffic. The filaments were actually lines of colored light that came from above. They had inner life. They were bright and bursting with energy. When I looked at the dying man, I saw what Don Juan was talking about. Something that was at once like circles of fire or iridescent tumbleweeds was rolling everywhere I focused my eyes. The circles were rolling on people, on Don Juan, on me. I felt them in my stomach and became ill. Don Juan told me to focus my eyes on the dying man. I saw him at one moment curling up just as a sow bug curls itself up upon being touched. The incandescent circles pushed him away as if they were casting him aside, out of their majestic, inalterable path. I had not liked the feeling. The circles of fire had not scared me. They were not awesome or sinister. I did not feel morbid or somber. The circles rather had nauseated me. I'd felt them in the pit of my stomach. It was a revulsion that I'd felt that day. Remembering them conjured up again the total feeling of discomfort I had experienced on that occasion. As I got ill, Don Juan laughed until he was out of breath.
"You're such an exaggerated fellow," he said. "The rolling force is not that bad. It's lovely, in fact. The new seers recommend that we open ourselves to it. The old seers also open themselves to it, but for reasons and purposes guided mostly by self-importance and obsession. The new seers, on the other hand, make friends with it. They become familiar with that force by handling it without any self-importance. The result is staggering in its consequences."
He said that a shift of the assemblage point is all that is needed to open oneself to the rolling force. He added that if the force is seen in a deliberate manner, there is minimal danger. A situation that is extremely dangerous, however, is an involuntary shift of the assemblage point, owing perhaps to physical fatigue, emotional exhaustion, disease, or simply a minor emotional or physical crisis, such as being frightened or being drunk.
When the assemblage point shifts involuntarily, the rolling force cracks the cocoon, he went on. I've talked many times about a gap that man has below his navel. It's not really below the navel itself, but in the cocoon at the height of the navel. The gap is more like a dent, a natural flaw in the otherwise smooth cocoon. It is where the tumbler hits us ceaselessly, and where the cocoon cracks.
He went on to explain that if it is a minor shift of the assemblage point, the crack is very small. The cocoon quickly repairs itself, and people experience what everybody has at one time or another. Blotches of color and contorted shapes, which remain even if the eyes are closed. If the shift is considerable, the crack also is extensive, and it takes time for the cocoon to repair itself, as in the case of warriors who purposely use power plants to elicit that shift, or people who take drugs and unwittingly do the same. In these cases, men feel numb and cold. They have difficulty talking or even thinking. It is as if they have been frozen from inside. Don Juan said that in cases in which the assemblage point shifts drastically because of the effects of trauma or of a mortal disease, the rolling force produces a crack the length of the cocoon. The cocoon collapses and curls in on itself, and the individual dies. Can a voluntary shift also produce a gap of that nature? I asked.
Sometimes, he replied. We're really frail. As the tumbler hits us over and over, death comes to us through the gap. Death is the rolling force. When it finds weakness in the gap of a luminous being, it automatically cracks it open and makes it collapse.
Does every living being have a gap? I asked.
Of course, he replied. If it didn't have one, it wouldn't die.
The gaps are different, however, in size and configuration. Man's gap is a bowl-like depression the size of a fist, a very frail, vulnerable configuration. The gaps of other organic creatures are very much like man's. Some are stronger than ours and others are weaker, but the gap of inorganic beings is really different. It's more like a long thread, a hair of luminosity. Consequently, inorganic beings are infinitely more durable than we are. There is something hauntingly appealing about the long life of those creatures, and the old seers could not resist being carried away by that appeal.
He said that the same force can produce two effects that are diametrically opposed. The old seers were imprisoned by the rolling force, and the new seers are rewarded for their toils with the gift of freedom. By becoming familiar with the rolling force through the mastery of intent, the new seers at a given moment open their own cocoons, and the force floods them rather than rolling them up like a curled-up sowbug. The final result is their total and instantaneous disintegration. I asked him a lot of questions about the survival of awareness after the luminous being is consumed by the fire from within. He didn't answer. He simply chuckled, shrugged his shoulders, and went on to say that the old seer's obsession with the tumbler blinded them to the other side of that force. The new seers, with their usual thoroughness in refusing tradition, went to the other extreme. They were at first